Okay, I'm pleased to say that we have Ali in the co-host chair, and our special guest has arrived. He is the one, the only, Ian Stevens. He is the independent parliamentary candidate for this forthcoming general election. Good afternoon, Ian. How are you?
Good afternoon. Very well indeed. Very well indeed.
You look a picture of health.
I am. I'm so healthy. It's unbelievable. At the age of 21, I thought I'd made it. You know, health-wise and everything. You know, that was a milestone in my life. Now, and I've just improved as years have gone on.
Like a fine wine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, obviously, we've got an election around the corner. Now, you know, some people might know how to play the game. Some people, you know, might not, and so on and so forth. Now the fun begins, because obviously things were dissolved yesterday in the big house, and now we've got 6 weeks, I'm guessing, 6 weeks in total. Are you ready for these 6 weeks?
Yes, definitely. I've been biding my time, as you may well imagine, making sure that we have the foundations in place for a general election that is going to, if you like, add value to the people of the island, both the community and indeed the business community. Yes, definitely.
Just to cover a couple of other things that are going on at the moment, and then I want to come to you, because your manifesto, are you launching your manifesto today?
I've brought it in specifically for Vectus Radio to actually take this on board and broadcast to not just the island but elsewhere, so that people can actually understand that this is independent as your good selves.
Well, I really appreciate that. I really do. Just to backtrack a little bit, how difficult has it been the last couple of weeks to, you know, you obviously you had a plan from this day to launch your manifesto. How difficult and irritating can it be to watch everybody else not so much jump on the bandwagon, but they've obviously had to make themselves better known. Certain people have had to start from scratch because they're new to politics, they're new to this kind of thing. So how difficult is it for you to have to sit back and watch that, knowing full well you've got your plan in place? Does it frustrate? Does it irritate?
Doesn't frustrate or irritate. What it does to me is actually reinforces my decision to stand. I'm standing as a local resident, as I've said in the past, a local resident, knowing the issues, knowing from 2001 to present day what the trials are for the Isle of Wight Council, the austerity measures and the impact that that has. It's been difficult to actually try and keep social care to an acceptable standard and healthcare to an acceptable standard. These things, you know, you don't just understand them overnight. And I think that's why it's difficult. It's making sure that I put forward something that is going to actually assist the process and assist this island. And to me, life is never easy. Life is never easy. But what I will say is that if you've got belief, and if you've got a strong belief in the community and strong belief in your own abilities to take that forward to a central government platform, then that's all to the good.
Okay. Well, look, I'm pleased to have you here, and I'm grateful that you've got your manifesto, and this is the first time people are going to hear it.
Yes.
So, you know, I think this next 52 minutes is basically down to you. It's your time to convince the electorate that you are the best man for the job. Before we go any further, I've said this numerous times, I think you are the best man for the job. We've got six candidates that, you know, could all bring different qualities to the chair, but I personally think that you are the best man for the job. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the hot seat at the moment, but the next 6 weeks are vital to you and the team and to everyone else that's taking part. So, you know, this is your time now. So let's hear that manifesto.
Right. Well, as I say, what I've done is it's three pages of actual fact. People have over the last few weeks levelled, if you like, not so much accusations, but pointed the finger and saying, OK, what do you stand for? Well, I stand for the island. I stand for what's good for the island. I know what the situation is with regard to local government. And don't forget, I've also been party to talks within central government. And some of those talks where I've been battered away, if I do, and when I do, become MP for this island, then they won't bat me away. I'll be there day in and day out battling for this island to make sure that we get the best deal possible. And that's what we need to do. Up until now, I've been talking to various ministers and they've given me half an hour of their time. That's all we can afford as being outside central government. What we need is someone who's actually going to be in there day in, and if I'm battered away one day, I'll be back the next. And that's the big thing for me. It's actually prolonging the situation and making sure that the voice is heard.
Okay. How do we get a better deal? How do we do that?
How do we do that? Well, first and foremost, you put your cross where you should, and it's against my name, and you get someone who's not being part of a national party, but therefore I'm not going to be whipped at all. What I am is an independent. There are other independents standing, you know, around England at this moment in time, and they will come together. But what you will understand is, with the Bell principles, there's no whipping and there's no disrespect to others. And the differential between me and the other parties is the other parties have got their national platform that they're going to stand on. I've got a local platform looking in at what is offered by the other parties. I can actually contribute to that or not. Only for the good of the island will I vote.
Okay. There's lots of things to cover. Let's go through your manifesto. Let's make sure that we get that out there so people know.
If we could, I've looked and on the front page, you see Isle of Wight issues and what I stand for and against. It's important to know what I'm standing for, and as you'll see, it's labelled there on the front page. I support the island schools and having a grading system of outstanding by Ofsted and the opportunity to challenge and underperforming schools and academies. We need to do that, not just through Ofsteds. We need to have peer challenges where people can actually, locally, we can actually assist those schools to raise their game. And I think that's very, very important, that each academy can be assisted by others and indeed by the local authority and their partnership with Hampshire County. I think that we need to make sure that we not only, if you like, nail them to the wall if they're underperforming, but actually what we need to do is give them the assistance to get to that better place.
Is it fair to point out that during the course of the last, the last 5 years, I know that in the last 18 months or so, best part of 2 years, that the schools are moving in a good direction. They're moving in a positive direction, but obviously the previous few years, it's happened under a different regime, and you know, you might not look to say it, but I will. It was a Conservative regime, and it was a Conservative council regime that didn't really work or go hand in hand with Andrew Turner. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, what I can offer is, with the present council administration and indeed business, because I've worked with business and the Chamber of Commerce and the Federation for Small Businesses over the last couple of years, and we've actually worked together to bring about change. And we will continue to do that. The assisted area status, for instance, is only half done. You know, and we're still going to persevere with that. If I'm in Parliament, then I shall be driving that so that we get whole island assisted area status, and indeed, if you like, a reference to the enterprise zones, which you'll see in the manifesto, that we need that. We will stop that locally. Portsmouth and Southampton City Councils, along with the district and boroughs over the other side, didn't wish us to have an extended enterprise zone from HMS Daedalus over in Gosport to the Isle of Wight. We've got to fight that. We've got to actually take it forward and make sure that we get zoning to assist, if you like, the Medina Estuary and the Medina Valley, so that we can actually get a vibrant industry down through there. There's lots of things to do.
I think, you know, most people will agree that, you know, we are kind of penalised in certain areas on the island. There's no doubt about that. Just to come off track a little bit, I mean, we mentioned Andrew Turner. He's done X amount of years. What don't you think, and I know you don't like, I know you're a gentleman and you don't like, saying things about people, but what hasn't he done? What has he failed to achieve, do you think, in the last X amount of years?
I think Andrew's been a very good, if you like, constituency MP. Good constituency MPs are really needed to be there, but what we need is a national presence, and really we need to actually, if we don't agree with something, we damn well say it. We say it, you know, and passionately, because we need to drive it. You know, the agenda for the Isle of Wight needs to be driven, And I'm not going to say that Andrew didn't drive the agenda, but we need more forceful driving of an agenda that's going to suit the island community and business.
Okay. Do you have? I know the independents aren't a party, but do you have a lot of support? Bearing in mind that Andrew Turner, very recently, it all came out that he didn't have the support of his party. Elsewhere, you've got the rumours that the Liberal Democrat chap, he didn't also have the support of his party as well. I mean, is that like a do you have? You know, question again, do you have the support?
I have the support locally. My members, colleagues across the island support me. And there's no two ways about that. I mean, when I put my name forward, those people were behind me at that time. And it's a cohesive way of working. It's got to be to actually present the correct, if you like, cases at central government, things that hold water. It's no good going on fairy tales. It's no good going on aspiration. We need to make sure that we're driving with fact. We've got a joint strategic needs assessment. I've never heard anyone else mention a joint strategic needs assessment, which actually shows areas of deprivation on this island akin to those that they keep quoting in the northeast and elsewhere. We need to actually put those things at the feet of government. That's the way forward.
Okay, let's just come back and clarify the fight for island enterprise zones. What does that entail? Which are the zones we're going to work on? And people are going to pick this up, and some people will pick this up and think, what is an enterprise zone? I have no idea.
An enterprise zone is an area defined by central government which will allow us to have more favourable terms for investment, more favourable terms for business start-up, tax rebates, tax holidays, business rate reductions, those sort of things that you really need to do to put into place to make sure that the first year or two in business you don't fail. You need people working alongside you. We need mentoring. We need, if you like, central government funding that is and even European funding that is going to be more favourably distributed.
Okay, and again, so we know that's working with the people like the, is it the LEP that you're working with?
Well, it's the LEP, but it's also BIS, and that's business and innovation. We need to make sure that central government is aware of that, and we can do that. We can do that, but we need to make sure that we've got the facts and we've got the figures and we've got the case put forward in the right manner. At the moment, when I speak with Vince Cable, or when I've spoken with Vince Cable or Michael Fallon, they've given me half an hour of their time, and then they've batted me away. If I'm Member of Parliament for the Isle of Wight, I'll be there the day after, and the day after that, and even the day after that, and the week after that, because quite honestly, we need to raise these questions in the House. Why aren't we getting this? Why aren't we getting that? It's important. It's important that we don't get battered away, that we're ever present and we're ever singing the song that we need this assistance. It's not a begging bowl that we're after. And I've told Michael Fallon and Vince Cable, I don't want a begging bowl. I want the means that we need on this island to drive business.
Too right. I've heard that mentality before, the begging bowl mentality. It's not about that. We've got so many good things that we ought to be shouting about, but we are kind of hampered. And I'll be honest with you, Ian. When you vote somebody in, you want somebody to go into the big house and you want them to bang the table and you want them to be passionate about what they do. And I don't get that with Andrew Turner. I don't get that feeling with Andrew Turner.
I think what you've got to realise is that there are party lines and there are party whips and there are ways that if you're a party political grouping, that pressures are brought to bear on individuals. That won't happen to me. I'm not going to be pressurised. I will have no whip. I will have no party line to follow. I will follow the party and the line and the motion that is going to set the Isle of Wight in a fairer position and a more positive outcome.
What's the thing most when it comes down to it, you're going to represent the people. What's the thing people say most to you that they would like you to do if you got voted in as MP?
The big thing for most people is that they want a more forceful representation. They want fair representation. As I said just now, we don't want a begging bowl. We want to be able to drive our business. Our business is good. We've got good business on the Isle of Wight. We've got good world leading businesses on this island. We need them to have all the assistance we can get.
Okay, which kind of leads us on, you know, the tourism, because I know this is on in your manifesto as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always said that we don't make the most of the tourism we've got on the island. We don't make the most of the history that we've got on the island. I mean, how much of a, you know, do we have the right people involved looking after that sort of thing? Because, you know, I'm just looking at, we've got a, last year, I think we had a commercial. I don't know how much the commercial cost, it don't matter. But it, you know, you had dinosaurs and things like that, and my worry is that people think that the Isle of Wight is, you know, is all about dinosaurs and buckets and spades and things, and it's so much more. There's so much history around the island. We've got Osborne House, we've got the steam train, and so on. I could sit here for 5 minutes talking about how wonderful the island is. Do we have the right things in place to promote?
We've got the right things in place. What we need to do is invest in them, and we need to do that at a national level. What I've put forward, and what is, and I'm in league now with other people of like mind. There was only 140 odd MPs that voted for a VAT reduction for tourism. Now, what we need to do is, if you like, assist our tourism offer. We need to make sure that there is money coming in. That money coming in could be from central government funds. Where we're being VATed at 20% for our tourism, what we need to do is start to lower that. Do you know we're only one of four countries in the European Union that haven't lowered their VAT on tourism? Now, that's quite astounding when you think that Germany's done it, France has done it, Spain has done it, Italy's done it, and the United Kingdom hasn't.
Who's at fault for that? Is that comes down to the MEPs?
It comes down to a lack of recognition from central government, the Treasury. The Treasury's argument is that they will lose money in the first year. Well, hold on. You're going to lose money in the first year. But if you put money back into your tourism offer and make it better and make it more inviting, you will find that the footfall will increase. You will find that tax revenue will then increase. The first year, yes, you've got a giveaway. But the second year, the third year, and then onwards, I'll tell you what, we could have a thriving tourist industry. And not just here, but if we did it throughout England, and I'm saying England, I'm not talking about north of the border. They've had their opportunity of devolution and what have you north of the border, and we might want to touch on that in a minute. But what we've got now is an opportunity to devolve down to, if you like, in the spirit of localism, down to a local level. And that means if we can actually give rebates and VAT reductions to the likes of the Needles, to the likes of Robin Hill, and they are told that they have to reinvest that in their tourism offer, don't you think they'll take that opportunity? Don't you think they'll enlarge their tourism offer, make it better? You know, they're doing the right things, but they need help. These are challenging times. These are challenging times where we need to actually help to drive their industry. And we can do that from central government. And I don't want people at HM Treasury telling me or telling the tourist industry that they shouldn't get that assisted impetus that they need.
Okay, stinky question time. This is what you probably heard a lot of in the last couple of weeks, and I've heard it a lot too from various people. When we talk about the tourism industry on the Isle of Wight, and there is talk of, or there's been discussions of, you know, toilets closing. You know, does that look good? Does that make us look good? Is anybody else doing it in other parts of the country?
There are some that are doing it, but to be quite candid, we've had austerity now for the last few years. We've got to a reasonable place, but it's killing local services. And that's not just health and social care, and I'll touch on that in a moment if I may.
Sure.
But what I'm talking about is public realm, toilets and the like. But public realms, the seating and the flower beds and things that make the island the place it is. Now, we haven't got the money to do that, but days of austerity will drive that down even more. And if we get more of the same, and I believe the two major parties, both the Conservatives and Labour, have said there's going to be more austerity on the way, then isn't it time to just hold back for a year or two, take stock of what we're doing to ourselves, and actually put a bit more money back in? Because local government is being strung out on a line, and health is as well. And can I just touch on the health and social care situation?
Of course you can.
Right. 1.2 billion throughout England and Wales is being taken from health and social care. That's got to have an impact on, if you like, our home care and providing the front end service for our people that need it. And yet, central government turn around and say they've got £1 billion that they're putting into the NHS. It's not £1 billion worth of new money. It's recycled from the £1.2 billion that they've taken out of health, out of the social care budget. So the Treasury is still taking £0.2 billion and pocketing that. Now, let's have some real new money into health. Let's have some real new money, or let's stop the wittering away and the weaving away of social care budgets, and let's leave it and see if we can add to that. Because if we don't, you'll find that we're going to have bed blocking, we're going to have other situations whereby people have to go into nursing care because they're not being given the opportunity to stay in their own homes, because there's not the care, there's not the help. There's also not the salaries, there's not the wages in looking after these people. And to me, it's wrong. We shouldn't be after putting people into care when they can actually be cared for in their own home. And I don't believe in means testing for that either.
Okay. Have you got any questions? Because we're just going at it.
I've got
a number of questions.
I have been looking through your manifesto, first time I've seen it. What actually strikes me is it's all achievable. It is all completely achievable for the island. And planning and housing.
Absolutely. Could I just touch on that, Ali? Because planning and housing, if you look at that, the first line, I support the scrapping of regional house building targets, which would allow local councils and neighbourhood plans to determine how many and what type of homes are needed in each area. Now, that's localism at its best.
Definitely.
That is where people aren't told that they've got to have a quota. They actually decide on that quota. It's very important. Local people, local town and parish councillors, local communities, they know what the infrastructure can actually support, and this is it. And what infrastructure needs to be put in place if required. We need to make sure that we've got that. We need to make sure that it's not just about roads and rail links and, looking after our countryside. It's also about the healthcare and the dental care and the schools and the education support in certain areas. And I think that's very, very important. We don't want to spend our lives busing people around the Isle of Wight at X £1,000 per bus. I think it's about £58,000 per bus route for our young to go to school. We don't want to be doing that.
Is there someone that, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the national things, there's only so much you can do. You've only got so much power. So when it comes down to it, is there a government that you look at? Because obviously, you know, no disrespect, it's not going to be an independent government. It's either going to be a coalition of the Conservatives or Labour and someone else. That's the way it's going to be. Is there someone that you look at and think, right, okay, you're closer to me than you are?
I think that what you've got to look at, and there are at times there's certain subjects, and this is where an independent can actually pick and choose which motions and recommendations
sure.
they support, because I don't have to go with one side or the other. But what I can do, very much similar to the Ulster Unionists that David Cameron was speaking to the other day, or indeed the Scottish Nationals that, Ed Miliband was talking to. They're going after four or five votes here, six or seven votes there, because that will be the nature of the next government. The nature of the next government will not be a one-party, and I dare say everyone that you've interviewed has actually said, these are difficult times for the main parties, because they've got to work with a little coalition here and there. Now, whether it's Lib Dem, whether it's Conservative, whether it's Labour, they've all got to talk. Now, you might think that I'm one independent on my own. I'm not. There are other independents up and down the country that are standing. There are other people. You take the Green Party, they've got people standing. You take UKIP, they've got people standing. Now, UKIP aren't going to have 400-odd MPs, I can assure you of that. You know, and I think that if they get 5 to 8, then that's about their target, I believe. You know, we've got to look at these things and say, yeah, you know, what are their target areas? Who are they going to work with? I mean, they're going to, you know, they're not going to supply the new government. They're going to be very similar to myself.
Okay.
Very, very similar.
Fair point. Well made.
Do you think, Ian, standing as MP, that if ever there was a time for the Isle of Wight to have a completely independent MP, it's now?
Absolutely. This is the time. This is the time when an independent member of parliament can make that difference. And if I didn't think that, I wouldn't put my money. Sorry, as I've said so many times before, my daughter's inheritance alongside that to keep people printing and posting leaflets out. I can assure you of that. I do fritter money from time to time, but certainly not in this case, and not to the amount that I'm putting forward.
Okay, let's get back to your manifesto. Which is out of all of it, which is the one thing that you'd bang the drum about and say this is the most eye catching thing? Just say, for instance, if I was to say to you now, which is the biggest point, the one point that you can touch Islanders with and say, right, okay, that's a winner. That's won me over.
Well, I keep on. There's a whole raft of them, Ian, and it's rather unfair because I've got, as I said, planning and housing, I've got defence, I've got health and social care, economy and environment, education, and indeed the issues for the Isle of Wight. So I've tried to be as broad as I can with this, because everywhere I've heard is, where's his manifesto? What's he doing? What's he not doing? What does he stand for? Well, I'll tell you what, I've put more into this than other local candidates. If you look at what's coming through the letterboxes at other people at this moment in time, you'll find there's half a dozen things. Well, I don't know what they feel about with various other points, but what I will say is that what I've put here is a summary of what I feel as an individual. I don't hear these other individuals saying it. I'm not having a pop at them. But
what I like about it is that, you know, you support.
Yeah,
I support. And if you get one of these put through your door, I'm sure you can check it out on a web, on an email, or wherever you can check this out. I mean, we'll put it on our website; it's not a problem. Put it on Facebook as well. But what I like about it is every line of your manifesto, it says "I support," and that's what we need, is someone to support.
I'll tell you what it says. I'll tell you what it also says. And if you look at the environment, it says "I don't support."
And that, I was just going to pick up on, which is a really, really big issue for people on the Isle of Wight now. I oppose fracking on the Isle of Wight.
And I'm sorry, but I oppose fracking on the Isle of Wight. Now, if people feel that the Isle of Wight should be, open to fracking, then that's fine. But what we need to do is actually say, where we come from, do you support it or don't you? No, I don't support it. But that is my personal view. Now, if there was a referendum on fracking and everyone said, or the majority went for fracking, then I would take that forward as the Isle of Wight's view. And that's the difference. I would take the Isle of Wight's view forward. I also, if you look down through there, I oppose means testing for the provision of care for the sick and elderly. It's not right that people should be means tested. If someone's managed to save a bit of money in their lifetime, then they should be treated the same as someone who hasn't got, who's been out and enjoyed life and what have you. I just feel, as far as I'm concerned, we have to be even-handed, and we've got to have a balance. And you'd also look down the very bottom of that, and it says, I oppose cuts to health spending by the government, and I do.
So again, going back to the original question, which government would you rather, which government is going to fit better with you, when you say, you know, I'm in favour of supporting the scrapping of stamp duty for first-time buyers on homes of up to £175, and you say I support the provision of affordable housing with the forward planning of the infrastructure? Where does that fit with Labour, and where does that fit with, because at the end of the day, so people are going to say, well, you're going to have to be working with these fellas somehow. No one really wants to. Let's be honest. That's not a job. I admire you for having to do it. But you know what I mean. Where do you sit? Which ones are you going to be more likely to get on with?
Look, Ian, I'm not sitting with either. I'm not sitting with any. I'm sitting there, and if people can persuade me through debate, and if you like through statistics, and it's good for the island, and the people of the island feel that that's the way forward, then I'm going to support these things. I'm not going to straitjacket myself into as it seems the SNP, the Scottish Nationalist Party, are doing by talking to Labour, and as the Ulster Unionists are talking to David Cameron. I'm not going to go into a straitjacket with anyone. What I'm going to say is, you put forward the right recommendation, with the right feel and the right outcomes for the Isle of Wight, you'll get my backing. If you don't, in the next breath, and if you're the government of the day, you will get me opposing you. I'm not there to be bought on any one subject matter. What I'm there for is to actually say, okay, what's good for our island? I'm an islander, you know that. I'm very, very passionate, extremely passionate about the place. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to. If I wanted to align myself with Labour or Conservative, I'd have stood as a Labour or Conservative independent. That ain't the game. The game is to stand as an independent person for an independent voice for the Isle of Wight, and that's what it's all about.
Massive respect to you, because that's what I wanted to hear. You know, sometimes you just got to ask the question just to see, and you got your answer, and we got our answer as well. It's refreshing, because it would appear that certain people are out there up and down the country. They're all in the process of saying that they're not doing deals, but they secretly probably are. And I say, hearing you say that, it's refreshing to hear some honesty, some truth, some passion as well. There's lots of things that we've got to bring up. There's obviously we've got to pay the rent as well by playing some commercials too. And we'll do just that now, and we'll come back with more in a wee while.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's John Willison from Cowes.
The best thing about White Fibre is their speed of response. And you're actually talking to a human being who you know is local. It's not transferred over to India or Scotland. It's a local person.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240-240.
WhiteFibre.com.
24-month contract required. Fastest speeds available in all cabled areas.
Business Insight, a weekly programme of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success, plus business news and information to help your business succeed in today's fast-paced and competitive business world. Mondays at 6:20 p.m. on The Evening Event with Darren Fernando. Also available for download and podcast online at vectisradio.com. Business Insight is brought to you by Jigsaw Sales and Marketing Consultants, driving business success.
Peer Estate Agents, independent estate agents covering the Isle of Wight. Call now on 01983 620 062 to take full advantage of our fantastic commission offer of 1%, no VAT. Also, visit our website www.peerestateagents.co.uk to see helpful advice on selling your home and all of our current properties available. Call today to take full advantage of this limited offer. 01983 620 062 or email inquiries@peerestateagents.co.uk.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, news, photos and more, covering island bands to established acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give you their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews, Fretbuzz now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels to advertising and features on the site. It caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call 07576 138 337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit us at fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find us on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
The ghost of a First World War soldier, a teenage birthday party and a laser game park, past and present collide in Warzone, a new play by the award-winning Origins Theatre. Shankly Theatre, April 29th and 30th. Tickets are £10 or £8 concessions. Book now at shanklintheatre.com. Warzone.
Check out the Riverside Centre Carpentry Shop next door to Vectis Radio. Skilled craftsmen have a small shop that's set up to donate to the Riverside charity. The shop contains nest boxes, tables, garden furniture, wooden horses. Practically anything wooden can be made to order. The skilled craftsmen are down to earth and really friendly. So don't be shy. Come and see them here at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Our guest this lunchtime is Ian Stevens. He's the parliamentary candidate for the... you're an independent. Not
absolutely.
Not a part of the independent party, because you're an independent, and you'll be standing at this year's election. How hampered are you when it comes down to funds and things like that? We touched it on air. Now, you know, I've lived on the Isle of Wight, like you, all my life, born and bred.
Yep.
I wasn't born and bred, but I lived over there since I was about 18. Yeah, all right, okay. You're one up on
I
me
I am,
there.
Too.
How many times have we seen an election with lots of fields, with Barry Field and Andrew Turner and people, you know, the Tories, the Lib Dems, with lots of money to throw at advertising and so on and so forth? How much does that hamper you?
Well, to date it hasn't, because I'm drawing on family resources and I'm using the money. It's a simple fact. I've got the backing of family and family members, you know, and that's good. I'm taking out my bank balance, and that's what's funding it. Hopefully, sometime someone might throw a few pounds sterling my way, but until that time, no, I'm funding it, and that's it. I mean, you know, and you'll see that it's not written on toilet paper. It's actually written on reasonably quality paper, and it's coloured, and it's doing the right thing, and it's I think that, you know, it's good quality. But that's because I respect those people out there. I respect the Isle of Wight, and they should have the best.
So would it be fair then, there you are, you're funding this, it's coming from your pocket, your kids' inheritance,
yeah,
and you are so passionate and believe so much in what you're doing, that's what you're doing, dipping your hand in your pocket. When it comes down to David Goodall, Andrew Turner, and the Green Party as well as Stuart, they will get a certain amount of funds for their advertising and so on and so forth. All of this is coming out of your own pocket.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I'm not looking at fellow candidates. I mean, give them the respect for standing, and and however they fund their way forward is the way they fund their way forward. I know what I'm doing, and as I say, that's a fact. It's coming out of my bank balance, and it's going into actually driving forward a campaign that is worthy of, if you like, the Isle of Wight listening to me.
It's also worthy of a few votes as well, because I look at that and I think, well, you're doing this for the right reasons. You're doing this because you're passionate, you believe in the island, and if I hadn't brought it up, you probably wouldn't have done, because you might see it as, and this is what I've said before already, you're a gentleman, you don't want to cast aspersions on other people. This isn't about what they're not doing, this isn't about how they're doing it, this is about you. And that's what I like as well, because how many times you've watched an interview with David Cameron and Miliband and they're both blaming each other? I've not heard anybody blame anybody here today.
You never heard me blame the last administration when I took over as leader of the Isle of Wight Council.
No, I did that for you, Ian.
Well, you might.
We all did that for you.
Well, everyone knows the situation, and that's a fact. Well, all I will say is that, you know, we do what we can and we do it respectfully. And we do it responsibly. And whether it's at local council level or whether it's at national level, that will always be the case.
Sure.
You know, where you can be respectful, but you've got to be, once again, you've got to be a man with a purpose, and you've got to, or a lady with a purpose, and you've got to actually get in there and, if you like, daily keep pushing and pumping away for this island. This island deserves it.
Okay, let's talk about Fixed Link. You wanted to talk about Fixed Link. Where do you stand on that then?
Where do I stand?
Yeah,
I've spoken with some of the people who are for Fixed Link, But I also know of the report that was done in 1998, and it was an independent report. It cost over $100,000 at that time, over £100,000 at that time. And I believe that we should be looking at that. People should be having, a debate from a source of knowledge. And some of that report still holds good today, I feel sure, and that should be taken into account. Now, out of that debate might well come a referendum. I don't know. But the thing is that we need to make sure that people are informed with the debate. Now, I've got a great deal of sympathy for the fixed link people, as much as I am as an islander, for an island situation. What I would say is that it's not just about passengers. It's not just about freight. But it's about, connecting to the mainland as well. If you consider what we could put forward as fibre optic links, as power links back into the national grid, if you looked at the fuel situation and fuel starvation on the Isle of Wight, if anything could happen. I mean, I was down at, I think it's Island Fuels, down at the mouth of Medina, down at Kingston area last week. And they've got to ship in fuel to the Isle of Wight. They can't bring in big ships because of the depth of water going into the mouth of Medina. I believe that we should be able to do better than that. I believe we should be able to help those people to actually bring in probably a bigger ship, take their loading up a bit, and allow them to actually prosper a little bit more so they can reinvest in the company. And I think that could be done by dredging. It could be done by a number of things.
We are a bit sort of set in our ways a little bit, isn't it? I mean, that's the way it comes across. I mean, I look at us and I think, right, okay, you want to go out and do a bit of dredging. That's great because it's going to solve an issue. And there are many other issues which we look at and we think, we need to change our mindset.
Well, we do, but I think that what we also need to do is, if we're going to change our mindset, we change it for the right reasons.
We can
have all wonderful aspirations and daydreams, but we need to make sure that they're underpinned by fact and thought and responsible debate.
Vix has been in touch, a sparring partner. If you want to stop means testing and cut stamp duty, etc., whilst investing more in the AHS and in tourism, where's the money going to come from?
Well, Vix, as usual, I do have an answer to that. And you may well understand that there's two elements. One is the inheritance tax, which I believe if the Conservative government put that through might bring in about $4.5 billion. The other one is Trident. And you know about Trident, I dare say. We spent $4.5 billion talking about it since 2010 to present day or thereabouts. We're looking at making a decision next year on a replacement for Trident. And we might well spend another billion while we're discussing that. And then I believe there's word out that it's anything from 25 to 45 billion to replace Trident. So there's another few billion there. And could I say that if we do have a replacement for Trident, then it's anything from 100 billion to 200 billion for the lifetime of that nuclear deterrent. So if you, and when you do get my manifesto, you will see that I'm against the replacement of Trident. What we need to do is make sure that our conventional HM forces are equipped and trained, not just trained to fight, but trained to assist in peacetime problems such as flood, such as famine, things like that, where we can go and assist people in this world. Now, my thoughts are that, and I'm not just a do-gooder. What I want to do is make sure that our professionals and those guys are professionals. I can assure you, when I was county president of the Royal British Legion Isle of Wight, I met with veterans, I met with serving soldiers, and they deserve all the respect and all the assistance they can get. And to me, that's where you can get your funding from.
Okay, Vix also goes on to say, I get no funds from the Green Party. It's all raised by island donations. Let me, because I know you don't...
Has she got a couple of quid to spare?
Well, just to make the point, Vix, obviously I know you're listening. Don't take offence by this, but the point I was trying to make about Ian is this has all come out of his own pocket. And if you've got donations, then way to go, you. You've got, you know, managed to raise funds so that you can stand. I mean, that shows initiative, but the point we're trying to make is that this is all coming out of your pocket. No one else is putting the fund. Well, it's your family's.
Family are at the moment, but I mean that's to be expected. But if anyone wants to hold a fundraising hop for me, then you know I know Vix had one the other week. I'm only too pleased to accept one. And I will divulge that as a fact when my returns go in. So you know I'm happy to do whatever. But if someone's got the connections to put a mini pop festival on, or sorry, music festival on for me, then you know I'm there. You know, and if you get the Who down, I'll even be you know.
Yeah, and, well and, made up.
And Bruce Springsteen, I'll have a bit of it.
Being the leader of the council, how does that help you? You know, if you were to become an MP, does that assist you? You know, there are others that are around that have never. I don't think they've been council leader ever. Some may never have even been, you know, working in the council or elected as a town councillor or a councillor. How does that help you? No. How does that, you know, set things up for you?
Sets me up fairly well. Fairly well indeed. I've already, as I've said, I've met with ministers and MPs in the House of Commons and in Portcullis House over the other side of the road and at local government house as well. So, and obviously I'm meeting with the executive chairs of you know, Sport England and English Heritage and all sorts of people. So it does set me up. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I've got a situation where I do have that experience and connection. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I've already made my presence known in certain areas. I've already been in the House of Commons. I've already been in an all-party debate on the libraries, etc. So I've already been there. I would just say that when you come into a new job, how long does it take you to get involved, know where you're going, know what you're doing, know who you're talking to, know how to get to those people. I'm already halfway down that route. Now, from my point of view, when I became a local councillor, when I became councillor for Ryde South West in 2001, and I'd already been working in local government for 10 years as a BT account manager, I can tell you that moving into what you feel you can do, and you can shift heaven and earth, you find that there are certain areas that you've got to move in a certain way. There are certain questions you've got to ask and pose. There's certain, if you like, circumstances that you've got to accept. And those are the things that I think that I can, if you like, take forward. And I also look at some people that haven't even been on a local town or parish council and saying they want to stand up. You know, sometimes it's better to go in and see what the ramifications are at local level before you actually dip your toe in the water for something national.
We're fast approaching the end of the time, but what we're going to do is going to give you 2 minutes at the end to sort of say, why should we vote for you? And then it's over to you. Will you continue, if you voted in as the MP, will you continue as a councillor?
Yes.
Which is good news.
Yes, I'm going to do that because, once again, that gives me, if you like, the linkage into the local authority to find out the pressures within our local community. It's one of the ways that I can keep my finger on the pulse.
Okay. Will it hamper your jobs either way? Will it hamper you being a councillor? Will it hamper you being an MP?
No way.
A lot's been made of, I think Andrew Turner goes up to London 4 days a week and the rest of the time he's not on the island, so... You know, is that going to hamper us here on the island? Is it going to hamper you?
No, I don't think it does. And I think that, you know, Andrew Turner doing what Andrew Turner does. Andrew, as he said to me 2 years ago when we had that ghastly budget and the grant funding, you cut your cloth accordingly, if you remember. I've cut my cloth accordingly at that time and since, and I would do so to give good representation, the best representation that can be done for this island, and that's across. That's looking across at all members of the community. I just feel that we need to make sure that we have that cohesive element. It'd be the first time in a few years that we'd have that element. And don't forget that Steve Ross was a fantastic MP. He was leader of the Isle of Wight Council, and he was also the MP. Now that's saying something. So, and well, I'm not going to be leader.
No, sure, but what also needs to be said, he's probably, when you go back in time over your, you know, people that have lived here for a long time, he's probably the last MP member of the council that we look at and remember fondly. That's no disrespect to anybody that's done the job since, but if you talk to most islanders that are of a certain age, that's what they will tell you. Is that when it all started to go wrong, do you think, when it, you know, the link with the Isle of Wight and the government?
No, don't, you know, I mean, I'm not here to put an opinion in when it went wrong, but what I would say is Steve Ross brought the community, both business and residents, together.
Sure.
And this island was if you like, an area and an entity to be reckoned with. And that's okay. What we've got to get back to. We've really got to pull back to actually being solid.
Let's finish up with a quick point from Ali, maybe a question, and then we're going to come to you. I mean, you've got 90 seconds, 2 minutes to tell us why we should vote for you. So you've got a quick question?
I just wanted to say that obviously you believe in what you're doing. I believe in what you're doing. You've not only sold off the family jewels, you've given up your job as leader of the council to stand for MP. 6 weeks' time, you're the man for the job, yeah?
I know I am. You know, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. I don't forget, I looked at the candidates that put themselves forward, and I'm the type of person that actually puts his money where his mouth is and says, okay, look, that's it. I feel I can do, and this is no ego, because each one of them got their own strengths. But I tell you what, we don't need party politics. What we need is an independent, driven island. And to me, that's what it's all about. That we can actually state a case for this island without towing party lines, without talking to others to actually get a sway and a say.
Okay.
We need to actually drive our own recommendations and get the support of others.
Why should we vote for you then? And one final question: why should we vote for you?
Vote for me because I feel that I've got the best, if you like, experience and the options to go forward. You must realise that I've already got the links with local business, that small business. That is the Chamber of Commerce. I've also got the links with the LEP. I've also got the links with central government as it is, and the local government association. There's 373 or thereabouts local authorities in the local government association. And there's also people who not only sit in as local elected members, but also as MPs. That's why you should vote for me. Vote for me because I'm going to put the island first. I'm going to put the island second, and I'm going to put the island, if you like, top of the agenda all the way through. And that's for business. We need inward investment. We need to grow our own businesses, and we also need to take care of our elderly and our young. I think that what we've done with education so far, with help from our Hampshire colleagues, partnerships, etc., we've done a good job. There's more to be done. Let's look at education. Let's look at a campus on the island for further education and degree courses with local universities across the Solent. That's what we should be doing.
Thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
And I really, really hope it goes well. And I know these 6 weeks are going to be kind of tough for an old fellow like you, but I'm sure if anyone can manage it, you can.
Hey, look, I'll tell you what, the old fella, I've heard actually people say I'm an old fella. They couldn't stay up half the night like I do. They couldn't get up early in the morning like I do. And they certainly haven't got the stamina that I've got, you know. And so don't think of age. If you're thinking of age, then all I want is to, all your older people out there to stick their cross in the right place, because old is a state of mind. It's certainly nothing to do with what your capabilities are and how you can drive yourself. Don't
Absolutely.
Forget that. I've driven myself since day one. When I came in at 2001, I've driven myself for this island, and I'm going to continue to do so.
And long may you continue to do
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.